Every day of the year, in the Liturgy of the Hours, the Church sings three canticles from St. Luke's Gospel. At Lauds, or morning prayer, we sing the Benedictus, the hymn of praise offered by Zechariah upon the birth of his son, John the Baptist. At Vespers, or evening prayer, we sing the Magnificat, the hymn of praise offered by Mary during her visit to Elizabeth, John's mother. And at Compline, or night prayer, we sing the Nunc Dimittis, the hymn of praise offered by Simeon in the temple when he beheld the Lord Jesus and saw him to be the glory of God's people Israel and the light of revelation for the Gentiles. These three canticles are sung day after day after day to keep ever before our eyes the sacred mystery of the eternal plan of salvation and its fulfillment in the Son of Mary, who is also God the Son. And today the Church keeps the feast of the presentation of the Lord Jesus and recalls the moment when Simeon first uttered the words, "Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled." In the Gospel today, taken from chapter 2 of St. Luke, we read of that extraordinary encounter in Jerusalem when 40 days after his birth at Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus was taken to the temple by Joseph and Mary to present him to the Lord, as was the custom for all firstborn boys. But on that occasion, their routine act of devotion also became an inflection point in all of human history. Simeon and Anna were the privileged witnesses of the unveiling of divine glory in the human face of a newborn child. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, Simeon and Anna were permitted to understand and confess the infinite mystery contained in the tiny body of the baby Jesus, and they glimpsed from afar what the redemption of the world would cost both the child and his mother. Everything. Mary learned that her son would be a sign of contradiction in the world, and that she would share in his suffering in order to open human hearts to hear and heed the word of God, the word which she received from Gabriel with the obedience of faith, the eternal word who took flesh in her womb and was given through Israel to the entire human race as the incarnate word full of grace and truth. And so Mary's last recorded words in the New Testament, spoken 30 years after that day in the temple, show us her role in the church until the last day. At Cana, she said of her son, "Do whatever he tells you." But two millennia after those events, even those of us who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord too often do not do whatever he tells us. We do not imitate Mary and live in the obedience of faith for many reasons, not least because to do so always brings self-sacrifice and the heart-piercing sword of sorrow that Mary accepted in love. And our failure to follow Mary's maternal instruction by not always doing everything Christ teaches us is one of the reasons why the Church is constantly in need of being reformed and purified. Our celebration today of the Lord's presentation in the temple offers us an opportunity to consider how we can contribute to the ongoing reformation of the Church by seeking our own purification. In addition to being called the Feast of the Presentation, this celebration is also known as the Purification of Mary. And just a few moments ago, in the collect or opening prayer of this Mass, we prayed to God the Father that just as your only begotten Son was presented this day in the temple in the substance of our flesh, so by your grace may we be presented to you with minds made pure. Authentic Christian Reformation is never about changing doctrine to make it acceptable to the times, or about creating a new organizational chart of the church to satisfy rationalist schemes of our own devising. No, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Christ alone gives the church her doctrine and form. Authentic Christian Reformation, therefore, is never about changing the church, and is always about changing ourselves, about being more deeply converted to the Lord Jesus and his gospel. Our long history suggests four marks of true reformation and purification, and if we want to contribute to the ongoing reformation of the church in our time, then I suggest that we seek to be purified by God's grace through following these four paths. Our lives must be Christocentric, ecclesial, scriptural, and sacramental. To be Christocentric means to have Christ at the center of every life, at the center of every marriage and family, at the center of every parish and diocese, at the center of everything. Christ Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And when we become his friends by grace through faith, then we begin to think with his mind, to love with his heart, and to choose with his will. If Christ is at the center of my life, then the very things I want begin to change. But this requires of me a decision to understand myself as a sinner in need of redemption, to understand Christ as the only Redeemer who can free me from my sins, raise me from the grave, and offer me a share in his divine glory and eternal life. But a Christocentric life requires us to live an ecclesial life, a life in and with the church. Too many people are tempted to say that, yes, they accept Christ as Lord and Savior, but they cannot abide the church because it is filled with hypocrites. But friends, where else would us hypocrites go? There are no solitary Christians, not a single one. And it is an illusion to think that I can be with Christ without being in his church. Think of Saul of Tarsus traveling to Damascus to arrest Christians and bring them back in chains to Jerusalem for punishment. When the Lord Jesus revealed himself to Saul, he asked him, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" The Lord identifies himself so closely with his church that it is rightly called his mystical body. And no matter how wretched the pastors of the church may be in any given time or place, Christ's church remains always his immaculate bride without spot or wrinkle, because the holiness of the church comes not from us, but from God the Holy Spirit. But life in the church is made superficial or worse unless we reverence and obey the holy scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as the inspired word of God, which contain no errors in matters of salvation. There is no substitute in the life of any Christian for direct personal knowledge of the Bible through regular reading, study, and prayer. Ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ, and we cannot live a Christocentric life apart from personal and frequent encounters with the written Word of God, in which we meet the eternal and incarnate Word of God. But even the Bible, indispensable as it is not sufficient for us to be friends of the Lord Jesus. We must also meet him in the seven sacraments of the New Covenant. The three sacraments of initiation are common to all: baptism, confirmation, and the Holy Eucharist. The two sacraments of healing are given as needed: confession of sins and anointing of the sick. And the two sacraments of service provide the basis of all our relationships in Christ, marriage, and ordination. These seven sacred mysteries are the means given by the Lord Jesus for uniting us to himself. And when we understand them through Holy Scripture and experience them in the heart of the church, then we are growing in a Christocentric life. But consider Catholics who do not come regularly to Mass, or who do not serve those in need as their baptism demands. Consider spouses who are not faithful to their marriage vows, or bishops, priests, or deacons who break the promises of their ordination. In all of these ways, we can refuse to live a sacramental life, and that is always a path away from Christ, away from his church, and away from her scriptures. In the temple, Mary was told what fidelity to her son would bring, a sword of sorrow. Following the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross always requires sacrificial love. But that is the only path to redemption, reformation, and purification, which is why following the Lord Jesus is worth every sacrifice. When we live Christocentric, ecclesial, scriptural, and sacramental lives, then we are living evangelical lives, lives built on, with, and for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation for all who have faith. And in the service of helping us all live such lives and contribute to the church's ongoing reformation, I have two recommendations for everyone. First, go to confession regularly. And second, pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day. The sacrament of penance and reconciliation is Christ's Easter gift to his church, and it is the privileged means by which the grace of our baptism is renewed in us whenever we fall into sin. Every Catholic must go at least once each year to remain in full communion with Christ and his church. But going to confession about once each month is the best means I know for keeping Christ at the center of my life. I already mentioned the three canticles from Luke that we pray every day in the Liturgy of the Hours, which is the church's official prayer and a beautiful way of uniting ourselves to other Christians all over the world who are doing the same. All religious men and women, and all bishops, priests, and deacons promise to pray the divine office daily. But all Catholics are encouraged to join in this prayer, which is why we celebrate here Vespers on the Sundays of Advent and Lent. The Liturgy of the Hours is an adaptation of the Jewish manner of prayer at the time of Christ's life. And to the Psalms are added readings and canticles from the Bible and texts from the Fathers of the Church. There are seven liturgical hours in the day, and the two most important are morning and evening prayer, which take about 10 minutes each when prayed alone. To these are added the office of readings, the little hours of mid-morning, midday, and mid-afternoon prayer, and the last hour of the day, compline or night prayer, in which we join our voices to the prayer of Holy Simeon, who held Christ in his arms and cried out to heaven with joy, "Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel." The Lord Jesus Christ,